Well, good morning and welcome to the Spotlight Show here at WJBM Radio, the voice of the Tri-County. And one thing before I introduce my next guest, I just want to let everyone know that if they missed a show, you know, we've done almost 100 shows since November. If you missed a show, you can go to our webpage, WJBM at WJBMradio.com. Then go to Listen on Demand, and you will find pretty much most of our shows. Some of them were seasonal, or some of them were just for maybe a weekend or an event. But you can look those up. You might run across someone you know or something you want to listen to. There's a lot of interesting ones there of local people. So feel free, if you need something to do besides watch TV or read a book, go to our webpage and go to Listen on Demand for one of our shows. Now today, I have a young businessman with me that's newly came to Jerseyville recently. How many years you been here?
Oh, Jerseyville? Less than one.
Less than one, but yeah. Well, the young man that's with me today is Tyler Shelton from The Reserve, which opened up south of town on DeShirley's storefront there, strip mall, et cetera. And it's a heck of a place.
Thank you. Welcome,
Tyler.
Well, thanks, Chris. It's very cool to be here. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And the name of your joint is The Reserve?
The Reserve Spirits and Gaming. Yeah, that's the name of the bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I consider myself a bit of a connoisseur of bars. I've owned four in my lifetime, and I've renovated, created several for others, and I really enjoy it, enjoy the design. And when I walked into your place for the first time, I said, okay.
Yeah.
These guys know what they're doing. It's a class act. And to be quite honest with you, we are fortunate in Jerseyville and for sure in Jerseyville, which I'm most familiar with, we have a few really nice establishments here in Jerseyville, some really class acts. For no bigger than the town is, we got some nice ones.
Yeah.
And The Reserve is one of those. It's got a classy look. It's got a feel, great feel. It's low-key, soft lights, soft music, very relaxing. It's an adult atmosphere. And Tyler Shelton, the main bartender, a limited partner with your owner, your partner, Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
What's Patrick's last name?
Gokey. Patrick Gokey.
Patrick Gokey.
Yep.
Now, Tyler, where'd you grow up at?
Yeah, so Patrick and I, actually, old-time friends. We both grew up in Highland, Illinois. So, hopefully no one is, mad at us about anything that may have happened in high school sports or anything like that.
Nobody cares. Hey, we love it. If we didn't have good competition, we wouldn't have any games.
Right.
So that's great.
I was like, it's 20 years ago now for me. But anyway, him and I both grew up in Highland. I currently live in Edwardsville. And Chris, you know, that means a lot, everything you said about The Reserve. So really appreciate it, you know, especially like you said, coming from someone like you who does have a lot of experience. Happy to be here.
Now, did you and Patrick design and build The Reserve yourselves?
I did not, man. I'll be the first to admit I did not lift a hammer.
You didn't?
I mean, not really. I helped a little bit with Belleville, a little bit, but Jerseyville, I did very, very little, next to nothing with any of the build out, designing, anything like that. That's pretty much all Patrick's brainchild, all his work.
Now, I heard through the grapevine that you've recently got married.
I did. Yeah.
What's your new wife's name?
Yeah, her name is Kelly.
Yeah.
Man, I appreciate it. We're about 2 months in to this whole marriage thing, and so far, it's great. You know, more peaks than valleys. So it's been a lot of good. It's been fun managing a new spot, a new business with a new marriage, and all of the
been there, done that.
Yeah, all of the all of the fun and excitement that can come with that. But no, it's been great. It's been great. Thank you.
Yes. So I'm going to ask you, where did you two meet?
Kelly and I?
Yeah.
So she's from Highland as well.
Okay.
And for better or worse, right, wrong, or indifferent, but it's kind of one of those old time stories of Buddy's little sister, if you will. So so her older brother and I have been friends for a very, very long time. And then basically just one night we were both back in Highland, and she was at like a 5-year class reunion, and I remember had on like a little blue dress, and we ended up just a bunch of our friends went back to her parents' house, and and you know, and as they do, things kind of just ensued from there.
She kind of grew up, and you said, "Whoa,
yeah, I guess, I guess." But I did not. I'll say this much, and I don't want to get myself into too much trouble here, but I did not make the first move, so I didn't like go after the buddy's little sister, but I also didn't you know, put up much of a fight either. So. Anyway, I hope that's not too risque for this show.
No, it's not.
All right, cool.
So I understand, talking with you before the show, you are into finance. You were in a finance degree. You're into sales. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I haven't been a bartender my whole life by any means. I will say it's far and away my favorite job that I've ever done, though. I do have a degree in finance. I've been kind of in that world. I've been in sales for a very long time. Worked in transportation as a freight broker. Great job. You're helping, you know, keep trucks moving, keep goods and products moving, services all across the country. I think in a lot of ways, drivers are sort of the backbone of America, not to get too far.
I think they are.
Yeah, not to get too far down a rabbit hole here, but I do really, really enjoy that. But, you know, we all kind of get to a point in life where you want to do stuff you want to do. And I love booze. I love bartending. I like doing this.
So on your freight job, do you operate out of home?
Yeah. It's all remote. Yep. I just need laptop and an internet. So I'm good.
That's convenient.
Yeah. Not too bad.
And that's your other full-time job.
That's sort of paying the bills, if you will, I guess. Yeah.
Well, the one thing that that's, of course, you know, I'm a connoisseur of bars.
Sure.
I'm also a connoisseur of bartenders.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I was always looking for good bartenders.
Right.
You
right.
Know?
Sure.
And I can always tell there's a good one or something that's kind of lame,
yeah.
You know, but you're a good one.
Well, thank you.
And the one thing that really struck me with you was, you know, your bourbons. I mean, and you have at your bar, the Reserve has a nice selection of bourbons and whiskeys and different spirits behind the bar. It's a very up class place.
Yeah.
You have some really nice drinks. And When you go to make a drink, I mean, it's like a science experiment.
It can be, for sure.
Like, whoa.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So, you're a lot. When I had bars, I didn't really get that in deep as far as being a mixologist.
You know?
We were wanting to turn things a little quicker.
Sure.
You know, and I didn't have the type of people that could do what you do.
Right.
But
right.
You are good at what you do.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I really do. You know, we take pride in it, right? We want to put out a good product. You know, we, not to toot the horn, we know most of the cocktails are pretty darn good. But obviously you want to deliver service with a smile and whatnot too. You know, a little bit self-taught, but honestly, I mean, Patrick helped me a lot too, with, you know, learning different drinks, learning different combinations, styles, techniques, things like that. I appreciate it. That's very nice.
You know, we are so, explain to everybody about bourbons. What's the difference between bourbons and whiskeys or whatever? What makes a bourbon a bourbon?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, we were talking the other night, and you know, and I think one of the things that's so cool about bourbon specifically, right, when we're talking about, you know, bourbon and the world of whiskey, is that it is uniquely American. right?
Right.
It belongs to America. A lot of people think bourbon has to come from Kentucky. Not true. You know, it just has to come from America. So you can have New York bourbon, Washington bourbon, Florida bourbon, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, the thing that I think is, you know, is really kind of, there's no Irish bourbon, right? There's no Scotch bourbon. There's no Japanese bourbon. Bourbon is uniquely American. Different from other whiskeys out there, rye, corn, whatever has to be, or I'm sorry, rye, Scotch, whatever has to be at least 51% Scotch, or at least 51% corn.
Okay.
That goes into the mash bill, has to be aged in a brand new oak barrel. So meaning that barrel couldn't have been used for any other spirits.
Brand new one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I ask? I'm going to interrupt here.
Yeah.
What happens?
No, you're good.
What happens to the barrel when they get done with it?
Yeah. So a lot of times, I was actually thinking about this today. So Jameson is actually one of the biggest purchasers of like old used secondhand oak barrels.
Yeah.
So we'll send them overseas to Ireland. They'll put their whiskey in it and age it there. A lot of them go to Scotch distilleries.
Okay.
A lot of them go to Canadian. But yeah, no, it's all what they call virgin oak. You know, I mean, you chop down an oak tree, you make a barrel with it. That barrel has never been used for another aging process with a distillate ever before.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. It's pretty neat. So it has to sit at least 2 years in that barrel. And then there's a whole lot of technical stuff with, you know, what proof it can enter the barrel at, what proof it can come out at. But the three main sort of characteristics, if you will, about bourbon, the three big ones to stick by that make bourbon, has to be American, has to be at least 51% corn, and it has to sit in a new virgin oak barrel for at least 2 years. And after that, yeah, you can get kind of as creative or you can play around with it as much as you want to.
Can I ask you about how many bourbons, American bourbons, are out there? How many?
Oh my goodness.
Well, I'm not.
That's a great
not
question.
Not exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I hear you.
Is there 100?
That's a great question,
man. Is there 200?
Oh no, there's thousands.
Thousands.
There's thousands.
Thousands.
There's definitely thousands. Well, and especially Chris, the thing that's cool about it is over the last 15, 20 years, we've really seen an explosion in whiskey in general, but specifically bourbon. I mean, there's distilleries popping up all across the country.
Okay.
There's thousands. Absolutely.
Do we have a few bourbons distilleries close by?
Close by, I don't know.
I know we have 4 hours away. We got plenty of them in Kentucky.
Yeah, we sure do. We sure do. There's a new one that popped up, I think, over by, what is that? Waterloo, Illinois. And I can't for the life of me think of the name of them right now. We do have some Illinois. We do have some Illinois brands. Now, I couldn't tell you for sure if those brands are actually making their own whiskey, because a lot of them will just source it from other places. They'll just go buy hundreds of barrels from Indiana or from Kentucky, and then they'll mix it themselves, but they're not actually making the whiskey themselves.
Okay. They age it themselves.
Exactly. That's a good way to think of it. Or they blend it themselves.
Add a little something to it.
Exactly. Something to call it their own, quote unquote.
Now I've never been on one before myself, but I'm sure you have. But there are bourbon tours down in Louisville.
Yeah.
What happens on a bourbon tour?
Yeah, Louisville and a lot around, you know, different areas. So, typically, probably what you would kind of expect, right? You go to a distillery. They're going to give you the history. You know what I mean? They're going to tell you when they started and how they started and why they're so much more special than all the other ones, right? They might tell you a little bit of, you know, what their mash bill is, meaning what are the grains that go into making the whiskey. But mainly, I mean, when you go through a tour, you're gonna see the mash. You're gonna see where they add water, everything, these big old tubs. You're gonna see the distiller or the stills, the copper stills, which I think is one of the coolest parts, because that's where they actually like heat up the whiskey, and that's where you get the alcohol vapors that end up coming off of it, which is the stuff that ends up eventually going into a barrel, getting aged and becoming whiskey. So those are really big. I mean, those are sometimes 30, 40, 50, 60 feet high. So that's always really cool. You can really see the scale of the operation there. And then from there, yeah, they'll talk to you about the whiskeys, but you also see the rickhouses, which is where they have all the barrels that they're aging, you know, these giant, massive warehouse buildings that just have hundreds of whiskey barrels on top of one another that you go into. I mean, and there could be a few thousand barrels in one rickhouse.
It's quite a process.
I've dreamt quite a bit about, like, one day, you know, having my own distillery, but yeah. Man, you got to have such a long runway with cash, because you got to figure right. that you're waiting at least a few years down the road till that product's even ready to go sell. You right. know, so it is, it's a very long, lengthy, time sensitive, caring process. Absolutely.
Okay. Let's talk about the process of actually tasting or drinking bourbon. I mean, what there, 'cause I know it's just not like you just gulp it down like it's Pepsi.
Yeah, you right? can. I well, mean, can. Yeah, but, right, right. But, yeah. But, each their own.
But, what is the steps or what?
It depends on how, you know.
If you want to be a connoisseur.
Sure, sure. Say you're drinking a nice glass of something, right? Say you have a really nice glass of whiskey in front of you. Me, number one, you know, I always kind of put it through the eye test. You know, I'm looking at the color, you know, to see, is it that nice, you know, cherry, deep brown, or is it something a little lighter, you know, to my eyes. Sometimes lighter means maybe it didn't sit in the barrel for very long. Maybe it didn't interact with the wood for very long, right? I want it to have that good color. I kind of pay attention to the legs, to the tiers, which are basically, if you swish the glass around a little bit, you can kind of see the streams running down the side of the glass. Ideally, what you're looking for is slow and fat, right? So a fat tier, meaning wider the streak, it's going to typically indicate more complex flavor, more different varieties of flavors in that whiskey. And then the slower it runs is typically going to indicate that it's been aged a little bit longer. So if you got a real skinny, thin leg that runs down the side of the glass, generally speaking, may not be the best quality whiskey out there, because it could be a very one-dimensional tasting, also a very young whiskey, right? I want a thick streak. And I want it to run real slow, because that's going to tell me that it sat in the barrel for a long time. So that's just the eye test. and then from there, obviously, you can go to smell it, see what you're picking up on the nose. Is it caramel? Is it vanilla? Is it brown sugar? Cherries? Whatever. And then eventually, once you've kind of created that profile in your head from what you see and what you smell, then you go to taste it, and that's the fun part. And for me, the fun part is always when the taste comes up a lot different than the profile I've created in my head. So, okay. Like, if I'm looking at something and I smell something, I'm like, man, it should taste like this. And then I go to taste it, and it's way different. I'm like, holy cow, how did that happen? So, yeah, anyway, that's part of the process, if you will, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
At your establishment, uh-huh. The Reserves, uh-huh. If you're just joining in, I'm with Tyler Shelton, who's operates the Reserves. A new place south of town.
Bartend, yeah, yeah, bartend. Yeah, bartend.
Yeah. But a good one.
Oh, thank you. Well, thanks.
Where was I going? What was I going to ask you?
We were talking about the eye test.
Okay. At your place.
Yeah.
What are some of the top bourbons you have at your place?
Yeah. So, I mean, everyone's heard of Blanton's. You know, I feel like that's a pretty widely requested one. That's, you know, we don't have some of the quote unquote top shelf that maybe some other place who's been around a little bit longer may have. But Blanton's is a great one. My daily drinker, it doesn't mean I'm drinking every day, but my go-to, my 5 o'clock pour, if you will, is called Weller Green Label. That's a really, really good one as well. You know, we have different Buffalo Trace products. We got Elijah Craig products. There's a lot of really good stuff up there. So it really just kind of depends on what you like and what you're into.
Yeah, but I think you mentioned one was top the best that you know of.
The Pappy Van Winkle.
Pappy Van Winkle.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have that one?
We don't have that one.
Oh, it's hard to get.
It's very hard to get. It's very, very hard to get. Yeah, absolutely.
What does a Pappy Van Winkle go for?
If you're paying true retail and you're somehow just like one of the luckiest people on the planet, and you walk into a liquor store and you find it sitting on the shelf.
Yeah.
It should only run you, depending on which one you get, it should only run you between 100 to, now if you get one of the really old ones, the 20 or the 23 year, that's going to be a few hundred bucks. But again, Chris, that doesn't happen. I mean, it doesn't. You don't
get it.
You don't walk into a liquor store and find that stuff sitting on the shelf. And if you do, you're going to be hard pressed to pay less than $1,000 for it. I'd say those bottles, most of them are going to run between $700 to like the Pappy 23, or sometimes that stuff goes for like $3,000 or $4,000.
Have you ever tasted?
Yeah, I have. I have. I've actually had all the Pappies except for the 20 year and the 23 year.
I'll be nice.
And they're really, really, really good. Now, I didn't pay that kind of money for the bottles. I found a local watering hole that was offering pours of them, and that's kind of what I prefer to do. Is just I'd rather go pay, far less money for a pour and try something myself than have to fork out, a couple grand for a bottle.
Well, we're going to wrap this interview up.
Okay.
But before we do, a little bit about the reserves.
Yeah.
When are you open?
9 a.m., 1 a.m., every day, 7 days a week.
Okay. And you don't serve food. However.
Correct.
However, you let people bring food in, or you can order food, have it delivered.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's encouraged. Yeah. Get delivery, cater, whatever you want to do.
Plenty of seating.
Yep.
It's very very upscale.
Yeah, 100%. We even got a room in the back that folks have done parties at, and they'll get stuff catered in. So, plenty of seat for sure.
And for those that may be getting antsy and don't want to sit, you do have some games. You have some fun games to play. You got the golf. You got darts.
Yeah.
What else do you have? Anything else?
Yeah, we got the gaming room.
The gaming room
with the slot machines in the back, which people seem to really enjoy. So if that's your thing, absolutely.
Well, with your gaming room, it is one of the biggest and nicest gaming rooms in the area.
I appreciate that, man.
And has upgraded machines. I mean, it's nice. You can park in the front. You can park in the back. You can enter in the front. You can enter in the back.
Yep.
So it's kind of nice if you just want to go in and relax and have a few games. I mean, it's very private.
And not tell the world you're there.
Yeah,
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So very nice place.
Cool, man. Well, thank you very much.
How about... you got any happy hours or anything going on?
Yeah, shoot, man, that's a great idea. Actually, we do. So Sunday through Thursday every week, from 3 to 6, it's $2 off everything. I know the place looks nice, but the prices really aren't that crazy. That they're not high. So last thing we would ever want is for some reason someone to come in and feel like they can't come in because it's too ritzy or too nice or going to be expensive or anything like that.
So when is your happy hour?
Sunday through Thursday from 3 to 6.
3 to 6.
Yep, $2 off everything.
All right. And do you have any events coming up or anything going on?
No, not that I know of. We just did a party a couple weeks ago. But beyond that, I don't know that we do have anything sort of on the docket right now. So.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Tyler, for coming in today. Best of luck to you.
Appreciate you.
And I'm sure if you've heard this Spotlight show, you'll have to go in and say hi to Tyler, and you might have some questions of your own about bourbons.
right on. Well, no, Chris, my pleasure. I really appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Yeah, absolutely.